Once a week, we get to talk about books from wonderful booksellers. Once a week, we get to use the term hippity-hoppity on the program, and I always look forward to that.
I'm glad to join you here on your hippity-hoppity.
Great celebration as we do this. And it's always a celebration when Matt Tannenbaum of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, joins us to share our book pick list with us. And it is always great because he finds those things that I love to go to bookstores, I love to browse, and I was like, oh, really, that exists?
If I find a book that I know you're coming in, Joe, I put it down below where you can't see it. I want to get this book that you don't know about. But you do know about this first one.
I do.
Orfeo by Richard Powers.
Yeah.
I've got a very nice list today. I've got two novels, two anthologies, a history, and a travel diary.
I was very impressed with your list.
But do you know any of them? You know some of those.
I know some of those.
You know Patty Furman.
I know some of those. You
right.
See, here's the great thing about your list. Just looking at the publishers, right? So most of them, there are two, I would say, two or three major publishers. But there's the New York Review of Books has one. And then the Library of America, and right. then Oxford University Press, a university press. It's a large university press, but still a university press.
Right, right.
And Wisdom Publications, which I've never even heard of. So
Wisdom's been around for a while, and they just got a new distribution agreement with Simon & Schuster, which will allow their book, like Tuttle, which is a great old publisher,
yeah.
just got a distribution agreement with Simon & Schuster. Because, you know, everybody's jockeying for distribution because the big publishers are getting bigger and the smaller ones are going to get left out unless they're part of
Let's
the major networks.
Deals. Right,
right. So New York Review of Books is part of Random House. Library of America is Penguin. And Wisdom is Simon & Schuster. Little Brown is distributed by Hachette or owned by Hachette.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? Norton, the only independent left. Norton, well, Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, they merged together.
Yep.
Where am I?
We were talking about Orfeo.
Orfeo, Richard Powers. Richard Powers has been writing since 1985, published this time by Norton, by W.W. Norton, because the editor-in-chief came over from another company and brought Powers with him. Orfeo is, what's the legend, the Orfeo legend, the Orfeo myth? The guy goes to the, Orfeo goes to the underground, something about music. Peter Ells is a retired musician in Richard Powers' novel. He's a quiet bohemian living on a suburban street. One night late in spring, he's a musician, but he's also interested in science. And what's the line I have here? The man is retired, but Peter Ells, people who retire do strange things. They visit birthplaces of Civil War generals. They take up Tai Chi. But Peter Ells wants only one thing before he dies, to break free of time and hear the future. He's never wanted anything else. And late in the evening, in this perversely fine spring, wanting that seems as reasonable as wanting anything. There's a tenderness to Richard Powers' writing that you fall in love with this character. You want to follow this character. And he's been doing this since his first novel, Three Farmers on the Way to a Dance. And he won the National Book Award. He's won a MacArthur. You should try to get him on the show sometime. I know he was down in New York a few weeks ago, and I missed him coming to give a talk.
We tried.
Okay.
Yeah, we gave it our best shot.
Here's a line from Richard Powers, from this novel, a line I love. The job of taste is to thin the insane torrent of human creativity down to a manageable level. But the job of appetite is never to be satisfied with taste.
That's great.
He'll throw that in. That's a hard, actual fact of human condition, and he'll throw that in this tender novel. So Richard Powers, Orfeo, Peter Ells is he's running this microbiology lab, and Homeland Security finds out, and they send him on a run, and then it's a journey through his past and into the future, and it's not quite a comic novel, but it's he takes Homeland Security and gives him a run for their money. Next novel, The
yes.
Visionist by Rachel Urquhart. Rachel is a neighbor. She lives in, or she grew up in Tyringham, lives in New York now, wrote a novel called The Visionist. We had her for a party in January. The Visionist is about young girls in the 1840s in the Shaker communities who had visions, who saw, who had direct channel to Mother Ann Lee. This one community, fictional community, has not had a visionist. A young girl named Polly arrives. She is befriended by Charity, who has her own backstory. And these girls become best friends, and Polly becomes the visionist. And this is the story, really, of their getting to know who each other are, who themselves are. So this is a novelist using that technique of young girls discovering who they are. Then there's this other guy, Simon Pryor, the fire investigator.
Do you have the book?
I do, right here.
Yeah, oh, cool.
Take a look at that. And one of my customers was telling me yesterday, she was reading it. She said, you know, I don't like this guy Simon. I want him to finish telling his part of the story so I can get back to the girls, because the girls are they're discovering these things about themselves. And it's a beautiful. Rachel is a terrific writer. She uses great descriptions. I think I marked a page there, but I'm not going to get a chance to read it. When Polly is and her family and his, her mother and brother are running away from their home, and late at night on a dark night in a broken down wagon, you know, old horse escaping the farmhouse. Just terrific descriptions. Rachel Urquhart, The Visionist, published by Little Brown.
Beautiful.
Those are the two novels.
All right.
Come by, and we have, Rachel signed some. We have some signed copies.
Excellent.
Anthologies. Great anthology. Came out, I think, in December. The Cool School, edited by Glenn O'Brien, published by Library of America, Writing from America's Hip Underground, anthology of writers from, these are outlaws, these are outlaw writers, or they were outlaws when they were writing, Henry Miller, Jack Kerouac, Herbert Hunky, the original junkie from that Burroughs met on 42nd Street, introduced to the Beats, Allen Ginsberg, Gregory Corso, those guys, Terry Southern, who wrote Candy and then wrote Dr. Strangelove. This is a great anthology of their writing. Norman Mailer, Lenny Bruce, Dylan, Miles Davis, Lord Buckley. Do you know Lord Buckley?
Yeah.
Excellent. The anthology has his piece, The Naz, which is a terrific piece. And Mez Mezro, who wrote an autobiography called, what was it called? Really the Blues. Mesro was a small-time Chicago jazz a player who really gained notoriety because he was Louis Armstrong's marijuana dealer until 1937, when it was declared illegal. Mez Mezro's in here. And you read Kerouac, like I read Kerouac, and didn't know about Mezro. Kerouac got a lot from Mezro, that beat language, that hip language. Great anthology. If you're a hep cat, you got to have this book.
Well, that's why you have it.
If you know a hep cat,
yeah,
you got to give him or her that book.
And just the name of it, The Cool School.
The Cool School.
Excellent. All right.
The other next anthology is Inspiring Generosity by Barbara Bonner, a book of stories and quotes about generosity. Barbara, a local woman, lives in the Berkshires. I sold her book on Sunday at the Mount. It was a kickoff weekend for the Berkshire Festival of Women Writers. And Barbara wrote this, put together this anthology of stories about people in the giving field. Well, she works in the giving field. She works in development for major organizations, and she discovered this culture of generosity. And it's a lovely, lovely book. Like The Cool School, it's a book that you want to give to someone who. Well, this is a book that if you have a chair in a room. If you have a table in a room in your house, this book wants to be on that table, so when you sit down at that chair, you can open it and read this book. Just open this book to any page. Great right. quotes, great stories. Inspiring Generosity, Wisdom Publications. Those are the two anthologies. How much time do we have?
We have, you have about 4 minutes.
Oh, good. The Great War in Modern Memory. This is the 40th anniversary of this book by Paul Fussell, which is won the National Book Award, won the... all sorts of words. Take a look at the cover of this. And Fussell said in a later afterward that a lot of the success of this book has to be given to that picture of that World War I soldier looking so distraught, so
distraught,
helpless, hopeless.
Bewildered?
It's bewildered, yeah. This book, do you know this book at all, Joe?
I have heard of it. I have not read
this
it.
This is the 100th anniversary of 1914, the beginning of World War I. We have a lot of World War I novels and memoirs coming in, but this is the one where you want to start with. This is the cultural literary history. This is he describes the the writings of Sassoon and Wilfred Owen and Robert Graves, who created this new language after the war. The World War One was this, the last of the wars where there was 19th century ideals. The people supported the troops going in to support 19th century ideals, which were shattered by World War One and the beginning of the 20th century. So the Battle of the Somme, Fussell says the 20th century began on July 1st, 1916. 60,000 soldiers died that day. There's nothing more you want to say after
no,
that.
No, it's devastating. It's The Great War and Modern Memory by Paul Fussell.
It's a paperback from Oxford University Press. And the last one I want to tell you is just being published today. It's called The Broken Road. From the Iron Gates to Mount Athos by Patrick Lee Fermor. And Paddy Fermor, I've talked about him before because I think the last time I was on, we talked about his biography by Artemus Cooper. Paddy Fermor died a couple of years ago at the age of 96. When he was 18, he took a ferry from London to Rotterdam and walked to Constantinople in 1934. And this is the third volume of his travelogue. The first two were published in the 70s. He never finished. He could never get back to the first one. And as Artemis Cooper was working on his biography, she found a piece that he had started to write in 1962, long before he wrote the other ones, about the last leg of his journey. Because the first part from In the Time of Gift takes him from Rotterdam to Budapest, then from Budapest to the Iron Gates, Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary. And then the third volume, he never could finish. But he actually started it years earlier. And then somebody suggested he start again. He started again. He never quite finished. She finished it for him, or she edited. She didn't finish it for him. I take that back. Artemis Cooper and Colin Thubrin, a travel writer, edited it and put it in good shape. And it is delightful. It's an 18-year-old's first view of the world. This is the pre-war world. This is between the wars. And this is the end of the dying of the old empires. So The Broken Road, Paddy Fermor, I cannot recommend it too highly. I've been loving this guy's books since I first started reading him back in the 70s. Just started reading, and then I really picked him up about 5 years ago.
The Broken Road. Well, that's the list. The bookstore is in Lenox, Massachusetts. Matt Tannenbaum is the owner of that store and our favorite student of the cool school. It is always a blast when he is here.
We have a couple of events. Do I have a minute to talk about the events?
In 30 seconds.
We have in 2 weeks, we're having a collection of short stories, Pulp Adventures, by a guy named Major Malcolm Wheeler Nicholson. I haven't seen this book yet. We just signed on. Somebody, the granddaughter, called me and said, "Listen, we're just publishing this book." He started Action Comics.
Oh, cool.
Right. Okay.
So that's neat. And the other event?
John Demos, historian, March 29th, the new book called The Heathen School. Adam Begley, biography of John Updike, April 3rd. Check the website. They're all on the website.
All Good Store, which is the bookstore. But the website is
bookstoreinlenox.com.
Bookstoreinlenox.com. It's on our site as well, wamc.org/roundtable. wamc.org/roundtable. Matt Tannenbaum, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.